Clean, safe, local. Your home for business is the Village of Bedford Park. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, August 12th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. New rules for realtors take effect this Saturday. We'll cover that in our next segment, but right now, a report on producer prices and a snapshot from America's small businesses are among key economic data being released in the coming days. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And about a week ago at this time, we were talking about a major sell-off taking place on Wall Street, driven in part by anxiety that the economy was slowing down and could be tumbling into a recession. So what releases, what information will come out this week that either could lend credence to or dispute that particular claim?
Yeah, I think Ann spotlighted it there in the previous comment. It's the inflation numbers, the consumer price index due out on Wednesday, looking for a Goldilocks report that shows year over year steady inflation numbers would be okay. Certainly some disinflation, so a slower inflation rate would be great, allowing the Federal Reserve to perhaps feel more comfortable in September for an interest rate cut to its target short-term interest rate. And at the same time, I think Thursday, the weekly jobless claim numbers, as we saw last week and this week, are going to take on some greater importance here, Rob, because those recessionary concerns were packed into the non-farm job report from last month. So now then the weekly numbers, let's see if weekly unemployment claims are beginning to climb or perhaps they're more tepid, which would give investors a bit more confidence that, in fact, the landing or a soft landing is taking place.
And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we get the producer price index and the consumer price index. Yep. The PPI, of course, being the prices that business pays, the wholesale price that's eventually passed along to you, the consumer, and then the CPI, of course, on Wednesday. And once you get those two figures, you could easily start coming up with figures about the CPE index that's the one the Fed relies on to make their interest rate decisions.
That's right. Yeah, the price expenditure number is a bit more of a flexible basket of goods and services that the Fed pays attention to. It thinks that is a more accurate reflection of what consumer inflation is like, as opposed to a static basket. And to give the Fed confidence in cutting interest rates in September. I mean, that's ultimately what this market has been betting on as we buckled into the sell-off last week, as you mentioned, and then held on for the ride that was late in the week last week in the recovery. The bet is that the Federal Reserve will feel comfortable that inflation is getting continuously under control, comfortable enough to cut interest rates later on this year in September and through the end of the year.
We're setting up the week ahead with Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami. Thursday, we talked about jobless claims, whether that could either calm or restart the jitters about the state of the economy. But we have one read on manufacturing, the Empire State region. And then we also have the report on retail sales.
Yep.
And that could also either calm your nerves about the economy or send them back up into the stratosphere.
Absolutely right, Rob, because so much rests on the consumer's ability and willingness to spend. And we've seen credit card debt, revolving debt continuing to increase. The COVID stimulus money is gone, long gone, for many of the bank accounts of many consumers. And in addition to a read on consumers, Walmart and Home Depot earnings and outlooks are going to come out this week. So I think we're going to get a real good sense, particularly on the corporate side, what those massive retailers are seeing in terms of people voting with their money as opposed to just voting with their voices when it comes to their consumer appetites.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, Florida, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a seismic shift in the real estate industry, and what does it mean for you?
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
New rules for the way realtors are paid are set to kick in this weekend. Let's discuss the big change with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. This settlement means the end of the 3% commission that would be split among buyers and the buying and selling listing agents. And what does this mean not only for people who buy and sell real estate, but for those who are entering the home market?
Thanks, Rob. I think that's a question that we're all kind of sitting on the edge of our seat waiting to see how it kind of plays out. Because typically, you know, what was once shared, meaning that a 6% interest rate charged by the seller's broker is, you know, split between 3% down, 3% to the buyers. So that's now going to be something that is not going to be able to be disclosed on the MLS. So now that there's going to be buyers having to enter agreements with their brokers to see homes now, and it'll be interesting to see where this kind of all plays out and how this really shakes out.
And this is the result of a $418 million settlement announced earlier this year by the National Association of Realtors. These were informal rules, but how is this going to change? I mean, for example, you, instead of a flat commission rate, that's something that could be negotiated. And would that make the home buying or selling process a little more complicated for someone who may not be as savvy, someone who could be entering the marketplace for the first time?
Yeah, most definitely. I think the first-time home buyers are going to probably feel this a little bit more than maybe somebody that is seasoned and has sold homes before. Because the first-time home buyers, if they're going to have to come out of pocket to pay for their broker to help them find a house, they may be also squeezing pennies to qualify for loans today as well, especially with the interest rates being up. So this is going to really be an interesting thing to watch to see where this shakes out for those first-time home buyers, and for the sellers, it's going to be a benefit. They're going to pay less money, and hopefully they're going to be able to get that money that they used to roll into the house, for instance, if they had charged 6% for it.
We're talking about the end of the 6% commission with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. What about the people who sell real estate professionally, either as a full-time job or as a part-time job to supplement other income? Because I know a number of people in my life who they sell real estate part-time just to bring in some extra money. What does this mean for that group of people?
Those are the ones that we're going to have to follow, is the latter that you just mentioned there. Because the folks who have been doing this, the more experienced realtors are still going to be approached. I think you're going to see folks still utilizing the experienced realtors because they've got some following to them, as opposed to some of maybe the newer realtors or the realtors who are doing this on a part-time basis. Some of those folks just don't like change, and this might be just overwhelming for them just to handle that. But then the second part of that is this may drive them out of the market because they're now competing with somebody who's going, well, I'm not going to pay you a commission because I don't really know what your track record is, versus somebody that seasoned veteran who's been doing it for years.
And then also, would this lead to an increase in the number of homeowners just doing it themselves?
Yeah, that's the other interesting thought, is that they're just going to say, well, we're going to just sell this thing by ourselves. We're going to put it by owner, and then realize that what difficulties come with that, because that just doesn't come very simply either, because you don't get the exposure that you do by having it with a realtor. The for sale by owners, you can certainly use the social channels and such, but actually being able to list it on what is called the multiple listing network, it's really, it's really easier for folks to see that than seeing your house, being sold by yourself.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a huge reveal from Disney has fans of the mouse excited.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Disney has ambitious plans for new lands and park experiences, and to help us run them all down, we're joined by Melissa McAllister, Disney vacation planner, Ticket to Ride, based in Chicago. Find her on Facebook and Instagram at Dreammaker Melissa. Melissa, thank you for joining us today. Now, the D23 event was taking place in Anaheim this weekend, and basically it was the Disney bosses outlining all the new fun stuff that's coming to the entire company, from new movies to new cruise ships. But of course, in your line of work, Melissa, it's the new stuff coming to Disney World and to Disneyland. And there's some exciting new event things coming up, especially at the Magic Kingdom at Disney World, starting with the Villains area. What's that all about?
Yes, they just announced this weekend that beginning in the next couple months, they're going to be doing a Villains Land, which is going to include two new attractions, dining and shopping. So that has been rumored for years now, and it's finally coming to life.
And a portion of Frontierland will also be reimagined with attractions based on the movie Cars, and also based on a similar attraction at Disney's California Adventure. Now, when they bring in these new attractions, as a Disney planner, how does that change your park game plan? Because I'm guessing if you do have a family or people who want to come to Disney World and utilize your expertise, they want to go to the new stuff first.
Correct. Obviously, that's what everybody wants. In the last several years, when Disney releases new attractions, most of them have been put into virtual queues, which I help my clients with trying to book those. I've been successful in doing that. So that is the best way to do it. They don't do standby lines. So the Cars attractions will be coming to Frontierland, and it's going to be replacing the Rivers of America and Tom Sawyer Island, which are classics, but this is what they need to do in order to make way for these new attractions.
Now, I was going to say, Melissa, with these new lands, for example, like coming to Hollywood Studios, there's going to be a land based on Monsters, Inc. If you bring in a new land, an old attraction has to go away. And I know the Disney theme parks have been these dynamic, living, breathing entities since Disneyland opened in 1955. But I always enjoyed going to the Magic Kingdom and finding some little nook or cranny of the park that had been untouched since the 1970s, but eventually progress finds it and it gets replaced by something newer and cooler.
Correct. Yes. Occasionally they do have to make way for some new attractions, but they do also try to keep the classics around, because many of us growing up, that's what we did with our families. And so we just want to carry that tradition on with our families moving forward.
And then very quickly, Melissa, also if you are trying to plan these events, you have to make sure they are surefire hits. And also some of the selections are a little unorthodox. For example, the new big attraction at Epcot is the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster. Well, that makes perfect sense. The movie was a hit. But the big new attraction that's also very popular at Magic Kingdom is a roller coaster based on Tron, which was a movie originally released in the 80s, and kind of a trivia question up until now. And Disney just has the power to make a roller coaster based on Tron a major event.
Correct. Some of these movies that they made attraction with were not very popular in the theaters, but they came out with them and they're hit in the theme parks.
So you're going to be your phone will be ringing off the hook, no doubt, Melissa, once these new rides are up and running, because they want to go there and they want to take advantage of the Monsters, Inc. land first. Melissa McAllister, Disney vacation planner, Ticket to Ride in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, using artificial intelligence to bring back voices from the great.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A man is critically wounded during an early morning shooting at an adult entertainment venue in the West Loop. The U.S. is increasing its military presence in the Middle East. Estates of celebrities are looking to cash in on iconic voices. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a pair of suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 91 points. NASDAQ up 24. S&P 500 down 2. 75 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, police are looking for at least one gunman after four people were wounded inside an adult entertainment club on Chicago's Near West Side overnight. It happened around 3:30 at Deja Vu Showgirls on the 700 block of South Clinton. One victim was taken to Northwestern Hospital in critical condition. The others were taken in good condition to Stroger Hospital. The Biden administration has ordered more U.S. military power in the Middle East as tensions between Israel and Iran remain high. CBS's Remy Innocencio has more from Tel Aviv.
This urgency comes as the Mideast is still in danger of all-out war, with Israel at a constant state of high alert and high anxiety. Also overnight, Hezbollah fired about 30 projectiles into northern Israel. Most of them fell in open areas, and no one was reported hurt.
The leaders of France, Germany, and Britain are endorsing the latest push by mediators from the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt to broker an agreement to end the 10-month-old war. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst at Baird in Louisville, Kentucky. Ross, thank you for joining us today. And I guess the question a lot of investors and traders are asking today, this Monday, is now what? We had the sell-off a week ago today and then a recovery. And it seems like everyone's looking for a way forward.
Yeah, I agree. You know, in the early part of a rally, it seems like everything's working. And then you get to this kind of soft middle. And the question is, does it have legs to keep going? Or is there something more ominous on the horizon? I think the volatility we saw pick up last week, you know, geopolitical tensions, some big trades unwinding, you know, recession concerns in the U.S. has that question on top of everyone's mind. And I'm in the camp that there's still good times ahead, at least in the near term. But I think the question is a more pointed one today than maybe it was a couple of months ago.
Well, when we go back a week ago to the big sell-off, I mean, there was a sell-off on Friday and again on Monday. And with 1 week of hindsight now, how much of that sell-off, at least early last week and at the end of the week before, how much of that was over-leveraged traders trying to bail out?
I think a majority of it, right? There's basically two things that were speculated to be causing the sell-off. One was, as you mentioned, kind of a positioning or leverage story in certain corners of the market that spilled over into the broader markets. And then there's the bigger question, which is, did the labor market data that came out on Friday, you know, suggest that a recession is more imminent than maybe we expected? I think that the sell-off was primarily related to the over-leverage story. I think that there's concern about the job market. The Fed should start cutting rates as soon as they can, but I don't think a recession is imminent, and I don't think that's what the market was telling us. And I think you could see that by the recovery into weekend.
We're talking about today's market activity with Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst with Baird in Louisville, Kentucky. Some potential market movers this week, starting with the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index figures. And what are traders looking for, or what are investors looking for out of those two particular numbers?
Yeah, I think the big one is CPI, right? That's the consumer price index, consumer inflation. And it's expected to be a pretty uneventful report. So inflation has been hovering around 3% for quite some time. That's year over year. And that's expected again. So you're going to want to see softening in certain corners of the market that have been sticky, one of which is the housing market. It's a big input into the CPI numbers. And if you get some softening in housing and rent, then you'll start to see overall CPI come down. So I think that's what traders are going to be looking at. And then I wouldn't discount Thursday, the initial claims data. The unemployment is going to be really in focus over the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks ahead of the Fed. And so I'd be watching those initial claims numbers really closely on Thursday morning.
When it comes to the trajectory of the economy, the weaker than expected jobs report a week and a half ago set off recession fears. For the last, you know, 2 years now during this tightening cycle, the goal was to slow down the economy to a point that it would wring all of the inflation out. It appears we are at that point, and yet now that the tension is have they tightened too much?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously, the Fed has a long history of tightening rates and putting us into recession. There's not a lot of evidence over the last 50 years of soft landings. And so we were always kind of up against the odds, according to history. Now, there was plenty of evidence that a soft landing is possible, that a soft landing is still possible. But a soft landing has always been a pretty narrow outcome and something that, as you mentioned, you know, the Fed is trying to slow the economy. And once it gets momentum to the downside, it is really hard to stop in its tracks. They've done a good job so far, but I think the concerns are ramping up that they've tightened too much or that they haven't started cutting soon enough. And they have to wait now until mid-September to start cutting, which is another month plus of these really restrictive interest rates.
Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst at Baird in Louisville, Kentucky, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, how technology could have you hearing voices from the past.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The estates of celebrities are inking deals to use the voices of dead stars such as Burt Reynolds and James Dean by utilizing artificial intelligence. Let's discuss the trend with Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Shelley, thank you for joining us today. And this is a new application of an age-old practice, because let's go back to 1997, Shelley, when Dirt Devil, the vacuum cleaner company, got a lot of attention and generated a lot of controversy by putting a Dirt Devil vacuum cleaner into a CGI Fred Astaire. And that went over with the public like a lead balloon, but it hasn't stopped the industry from trying.
No, look, there's a cool factor and a creepy factor. They used Peter Cushing in Rogue One, and you know, he passed away years before. Carrie Fisher in Rise of Skywalker, if you remember. More recently in Ghostbusters Afterlife, Harold Ramis came back as Egon. And I know in your intro you mentioned James Dean. That was in Finding Jack. They resurrected him. I mean, look, is it good or bad? We look at old movies. Many of the stars have passed away. Here we're looking at new movies with stars who have passed away being using the magic of Hollywood to be magically brought back. I think it's a distinction without a difference in many ways. The estates being able to license and profit from it make all the sense in the world. This is intellectual property, and these people's estates are entitled to, I believe they're entitled to make some money from the intellectual property that the deceased star still has the equity and asset value still left there. The question really is, will the audience like it? And when you de-age somebody using AI, in Mandalorian, that fantastic scene with Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker.
Good job not spoiling the particular scene, but yes.
It's so amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, another example is Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. I mean, the beginning of the movie is see 80s Harrison Ford, fighting his way through a train.
So at the end of the day, yeah, it works. No, it doesn't. I think it's in the eye of the beholder. The tech is only going to get better every single day. Like, this is the worst of it you're ever going to see. Like, the examples we're giving are all relatively, they're recent, but they're not that recent. Rob, this is going to get crazy good, crazy fast. And by the way, what's going to get weird is that social production, meaning you or I just sitting down saying, I need Harrison Ford, fighting his way through my, my grocery aisle in the local grocery store. Like, that's going to work. That's the part that's going to get scary, because they're not going to get paid for that. So we're coming into a time where everyone has access to this technology, not just Hollywood. So I think the Hollywood people are smart to try to jump on it in a legal, licensed way. But I don't know what they're going to do when absolutely everybody has a fair use opportunity to do the same thing. We're coming into a brave new world, and it's coming much faster, I think, than most people understand.
And on top of that, I mean, we're imagining, gross commercial uses for AI and deceased performers. I mean, I guess the potential exists to have Orson Welles once again sell wine on television if you wanted that sort of thing. But 30 years ago, Forrest Gump was in the movie theater, and that was remarkable usage of CGI to put the Forrest Gump character into a historical context and talking to people who had died, where he was interacting with President Kennedy and interacting with John Lennon.
They had creative license, right? Zelig, the thing, the Woody Allen movie. This has been done, and it's been done a lot. It's just never been as easy. And I think the difference now is scale and convenience. I think Hollywood knows this is coming. And right now we're thinking of this as odd and new and strange, but I bet you 5 years from now, no one's going to even think about it when it's being done. It's literally just going to be something that just happens.
It's already happened. A big show, a show that I'm a big fan of is For All Mankind on Apple TV. And a couple of years ago, they had the characters interacting with Johnny Carson. An AI deepfake with the blessing of The Tonight Show. And then there was President Reagan commenting on events happening in the storyline. Again, an AI deepfake. And it worked inside the context of the story. But yes, they used the same technology that also gives us pause when applied in other places.
100%. And I guess that's really what this question becomes. Not so much can it be done or should it be done, but what's going to happen and how will what we understand about copyright law, what we understand about licensing, all of those things are coming to question now. And they never have had to before because it has been the bastion of big Hollywood, right? Someone's going to spend a lot of time and money making Forrest Gump. Now, you and I can make Forrest Gump. It's a different world.
Life is like a box of chocolate, Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Thank you for joining us today.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and our Monday stock picker sharing his expertise this afternoon is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. Two selections on this Stock Picker Monday, and your first comes from the biotechnology space.
That's right. The company is Halozyme Therapeutics. The symbol is HALO. It trades for about $56 a share. What's kind of neat about this company is its biggest product is its drug delivery technology. They have a technology that basically speeds up the way you can get subcutaneous injectable drugs. And I know there's people out there, it can take hours to administer some of these treatments. And with their drug delivery technology, they can reduce that hours down to minutes. So they join with other drug manufacturers and have this delivery system. So they get royalties on it. And business has been good. Earnings this year should be up over 40%. Next year they should be up over 20%. The company is looking at 10 new products with the potential being approved in 2024 that would be using its technology. It's, by biotech standards, it's cheap stock. It trades at less than 14 times its 2024 earnings. So it's a nice way to play healthcare, biotech, and to do it at a reasonable valuation. That's Halozyme Therapeutics. HALO trades for $56 a share.
And your next selection, they build energy plants.
They do. It's Argan. The symbol is AGX. It trades for about $69 a share. And as you mentioned, they are a construction and engineering firm. And one of their big areas is building basically alternative energy facilities. They also provide services to traditional utilities, and they also provide services to communications and power systems companies where they're dredging and putting stuff under the ground. I like these companies. There's a lot of demand for their services, partly because of rebuilding the grid. Companies' earnings should be up very nicely this year and next, double digits in fiscal 2025 and 2026. We look for earnings estimates to continue to rise. You get a 1.7% dividend yield. And finally, again, a reasonable valuation. It trades at less than 18 times its current fiscal year earnings estimates, and it trades at about 14 times next year's earnings estimates. So you can buy the stock at a reasonable valuation. So that's Argan, the symbol AGX, trades for about $69 a share. And our company and our clients own both of these stocks.
Chuck Carlson, CEO, Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com in Hammond. Thank you for joining us today. As selections, Halozyme Therapeutics, H-A-L-O, and Argan, A-G-X.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.